Good. Well, we're going to make a start, and let me stay right up front. Thank you so much for making this a priority, and it really should be a priority. But I'm conscious some of you have just flown in from Singapore or elsewhere, and no doubt it feels like the middle of the night. So thank you so much. And if you're watching this recording later, I hope this finds you well. We're very much looking forward to this weekend away together. Obviously, it's not away in one sense. Sad we can't be at Ashburnham, but nonetheless, we're going to have some great times over the next 48 hours. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm really looking forward to tomorrow morning as we spend time in Mark's Gospel and begin to get a real grasp of the big picture of the book, which will help us as we get ready for the year ahead. And we're going to spend some time tomorrow afternoon, thanks to Laura, thinking through how to lead Bible studies, which of course is something we're all going to be doing at some point over the course of the year. And on Sunday morning, it'll be good to touch base. We'll have some time praying all together. Obviously, I hope tomorrow in our smaller groups we'll get to pray at different points. But one of the things I'm personally looking forward to is spending time socially. Now, that's one of the great things about being down at Ashburnham, but we really want to make the most of opportunities to do that over the course of tomorrow, even if we're in London. So please try and assume that the day is put aside, including the evening, to IGG leaders, and we can spend time getting to know each other. And yeah, some of us know each other all really well. It's great to have new guys with us in the team, and it may well be that in your slob you have new guys. What a good chance to get to know each other. I hope we're all in the habit of using the church prayer diary. I don't know if you've got the Prayer Mate app. It's quite easy to get the prayer diary coming through to that on a feed. And those of us who are part of the Mandarin congregation, if you do use it, the prayer diary for the 2 p.m. today, I thought got it just right. Did you remember what the prayer entry was? Pray for the IGG training weekend, leaders training weekend. Pray that it would equip leaders to shepherd God's flock. Equip leaders to shepherd God's flock. Isn't that right? How easy for us to think about IGG leading being just about leading a Bible study. Of course, it is that, and we'll think more about that tomorrow, but it's so much more. And what we're thinking about this evening is exactly that, shepherding the group. Now, most of us here are going to be leading IGG groups. We've also, I'm delighted to say, got the what we call the life team with us. You'll notice on the handout I've suggested we're calling the team, at least for the time being, the Explore team. And that's mainly because we're not running the life course this year because we've moved from John to Mark. But we're very much committed to continuing to partner with the whole of IGG in seeking to make Christ known and through various courses, giving them the chance to explore. Now, it's true most of us are not elders in the church, but as William reminded us, if you were with us at St. Helens last week, as we met with all the small group leaders, that our responsibility is very much a sort of delegated responsibility to be the leaders of St. Helens. So we're not just leading a small group, but we are entrusted pastoral responsibility for those in our groups. And I very much hope this first session is going to help us think through how we can be faithful in that responsibility that we are being given. Particularly warm welcome if you weren't with us last Tuesday. We kind of met each other. It was great. Tomorrow morning, even if you're not able to be with us physically, it's going to be great to be together and have you with us on Zoom if you've just flown in and having to self-isolate. It's great. We've got students, student leaders, we've got worker leaders, English leaders, Mandarin leaders, and as I said, that the Explore team. I'm going to ask Mary, are you happy to lead us in a prayer and commit our time? Many of us have had busy, long days, perhaps looking at the screen all day. Let's pray for careful listening.
Sure. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. We're so aware of each of our own dependence on you, our need for you. We look to the task of shepherding your sheep and think, who is sufficient for such a thing? And we can only cry out, Jesus, only Jesus is sufficient for that task. And so please fix our eyes on Jesus as we think about this task that you've entrusted to us. Help us to think about Jesus tonight. Please help Henry as he leads us. And please would our eyes be fixed on Jesus this whole weekend and this whole year, and that you would through Jesus make us sufficient for the task of shepherding your righteous sheep. We pray it to your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mary. I think it was 10 years ago at the equivalent IGG Leaders Training Weekend that I introduced the three people on the top of the handout, Ivy, Guido and George. I tried to dig out my notes. I couldn't find them, but I think it was something like that. It was certainly IGG. It was a time where we talked a lot about integrating, growing and going. That is to say, we wanted 10 years ago to see people arrive and get stuck into the church family and integrate within so they felt a sense of belonging and stuck with us during their time in London and whilst with us as we open God's word together to grow in relationship with Christ so that as they then go off, they go as partners in the gospel, seeking to go and make other disciples of Jesus Christ. And I spoke 10 years ago about what a vision we could have, 2020, imagine in 2020. And believe me, that sounded a very long time off in the future to talk about 2020. And you can imagine the sort of cheesy nature of 2020 vision. You know, we've got to have clear vision. Just imagine in 2020, Ivy from Hong Kong, she'd been with us in 2010. She had integrated into the life of the church. And because of that, she really grew. And then 10 years later, imagine she's back in Hong Kong and she's running the Sunday school in her church. Let me tell you about Guido. 10 years ago, I spoke of Guido. We actually had quite a lot of Latvians within IGG at that point. It's interesting how the Lord brings different kinds of people at different seasons of the life of IGG. And imagine Guido back in Latvia as a key lay elder in his church. He really grew during his time in London and went back and continued to grow in the convictions that he learned with us. And then let me tell you about George. Imagine he goes back. In fact, perhaps he stays with us for a bit and we train him in Bible teaching, gospel ministry. And then he goes back and ends up leading a church. And praise the Lord, there are people like George now in places like Shanghai. Well, I don't think the vision has changed much over the last 10 years. And praise the Lord, there are many Ivy, Guido, George types who we could, some of us no doubt, think of and others perhaps imagine. But it's a wonderful vision we had 10 years ago or more. And that vision, in one sense, is the same in 2020 as it was then. I guess perhaps the one slight tweak might be no longer do we just want to send people back to their home country to partner with us, but to envision people to potentially go on. So, yes, maybe George ended up in Shanghai, but then from Shanghai headed off to some unreached nation, burdened to take the gospel to those who've never heard of Jesus Christ. The ministry is unchanging. But how about the context? You see, if we're going to shepherd the group, we need to think about what is the context we're in. And it's true, we've never started a year of IGG in the middle of a pandemic. There are lots of unknowns, aren't there? And I guess tomorrow we'll talk about more of those. And I'm sure you've got any number of questions about how we're going to run IGG on Wednesday evenings. And some of those questions are unknown to some of the answers are still unknown to me. And we're going to need to be flexible during the year. But actually, guys, in some ways, nothing is very different to normal. Because every year, at the beginning of the year, we know God's strategy, and yet we don't know the soil that God's word is going to land in. And that's just the same this year. Yeah, there are some unknowns about some of the practical details. But we do know what God's strategy is. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We were reminded by William in Acts 20 a few days back that this is the ministry of the word we've been entrusted, going door to door, house to house. Maybe that won't be possible for some of the year. But in small groups, in big groups, we are seeking to get the word of grace out as we seek to shepherd the flock. And as Mary was praying, we do that as we bring people to the words of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus himself. We know his strategy. And yet, as always, we don't know what soil God's word is going to fall onto. Only time will tell. Now, we've all read, I hope, Mark's gospel a number of times in recent weeks. And so we will have read the parables in Mark chapter 4. If you've got a Bible in front of you, you might want to turn that up. And we're going to be looking at a bit of Mark 4 over the next few minutes. And you remember the first parable, the parable of the soils or the parable of the sower, whatever you want to call it. the sower sows a seed and it falls on different soils, doesn't it? And of course, that's always been the case within IGG ministry. It was thrilling to hear just a few hours ago that Xiaoman, a Chinese city worker, was led to Christ in a small Mandarin Bible study earlier today. What a wonderful bit of news. What a great encouragement at the beginning of a new year of ministry. But who knows? Will she be... Well, she's definitely not like the first soil because it hasn't been snatched away. She's accepted it. But will she be the good soil? Or will it end up being choked? We pray not. We pray that she'll be the good soil. Well, who knows? Maybe this year IGG will be smaller than in recent times. It's hard to believe that 15 years ago there were two groups, or was it three small groups within IGG. Last year, how many did we have? 20 plus groups. Huge growth in numbers recently. Maybe we'll be smaller in terms of numbers of groups, size of groups. But actually, the potential this year could be far more significant than even just last year. Let's pray that Xiaoman is the first of many, many professions of faith over the course of the year. But we long not just for professions. We long to see people bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Don't you love that last verse at the end of the parable of the soils? I've got it up there. Chapter 4, verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I want us to notice briefly two key principles from these parables. You'll see them on the sheet. Two key principles that should impact the way we lead in IGG, the way we shepherd the flock entrusted to our care. One of them is an encouragement. The other's an exhortation. We're going to start with the encouragement. Despite appearances, we can be confident of a certain harvest. Despite appearances, we can be confident of a certain harvest. Obviously, we're going to think more about Mark tomorrow, and we'll see more of the context. But do you remember just before chapter 4, before the parables, we get this incredible glimpse of Jesus' authority. And yet his priority is what? To preach. And so you get to the parables and you think, well, what are they there for? And we'll obviously talk about that in our slog groups. Maybe we'll think about it tomorrow. But I guess the question in our heads is, what's gone wrong with Jesus's strategy? You know, he's been preaching the word and yet people are rejecting. The leaders are rejecting it. What's going on here, Jesus? No, despite appearances, we can be confident of a certain harvest. Just have a look in your Bibles at chapter 4. It's not just the parable of the sower, is it? There are three parables to do with soil and seeds. There's the parable of the soils, then there's the farmer who plants it and doesn't see what's going on and has to wait. And then there's the mustard seed. In each case, the appearances don't look good. There's rejection in the first one. There's delay. There's the small-scale beginnings. But in each case, how does it end? We see a certain harvest. Brothers and sisters, isn't that a huge encouragement for us? We might be tired at the end of a week, and the thought of spending the whole of tomorrow getting ready for a year of IGG, sitting in St. Andrews with Mars on it, it may seem like we're crazy. But actually, we can start this year knowing with real confidence that there is a certain harvest from IGG Gospel Ministry 2020 to 2021. If we get on with this business of sowing the seed, well, we can be confident there will be a harvest. That's the encouragement. But how about the exhortation? That's the second principle you'll see on the sheet. Despite God's primary role, we are responsible for listening carefully. We're responsible for listening carefully. This is, guys, where we're going to spend the rest of our time this evening. Seeing that we are personally responsible for listening carefully. And so shepherding the group, doing that well, it's essential that we're clear on God's part and our part. I wonder if someone would read for us verse 11. I can see E on my screen. Are you happy to read that for us, verse 11? Yep.
Chapter 4, verse 11. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables.
Thanks, E. The secret has been given to you. So he's talking to the disciples. We are utterly dependent on God to give us sight. We're utterly dependent on God to bring about growth in the members of our groups. And that's why last year, as we went away to Ashburn on this weekend, do you remember what we spent some time thinking about? The priority of speaking to God in prayer, because we're totally dependent on him to give sight, to bring growth. He needs to give us the secret of the kingdom to open our blind eyes. Well, less of the priority of prayer today and over the course of this weekend. We are going to spend some time praying, but just because we're not making a big thing of it this year, please don't think any less of it this year. This year, it's essential we keep remembering God's part in this. Unless he does the work, well, it's all in vain. You might have noticed the password for the Zoom room. Did you notice what it was? Was it 1271? Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. Dependent on God, and yet human responsibility. We mustn't lose sight of that. Just have a look at verse 9 and then verse 23. What does it say? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because this year, we must realise the priority of helping the group listen carefully. That's what we're thinking about for the rest of our time. The priority of helping the group to listen carefully. Now, those of you who know Becca, I think Becca's still listening in, so I have to be careful what I say now. But she is remarkably patient to put up with someone like me in the house and as a husband. Yet I'm fairly confident even Becca, if I was to look at my phone whenever she started speaking, it wouldn't satisfy her if I was to say, oh, darling, I don't care about your words. I just care about you. She's not going to put up with that, is she? Of course she's not. Quite right. Well, likewise, the way we treat the words of God reveals what we really think about God. It really matters, doesn't it, how we listen and that we listen carefully to what God is saying. Well, we're going to split off into breakout rooms, and you'll notice a couple of discussion questions. What would it look like for an IGG member to listen carefully? And what stops us from listening carefully? Let's have a discussion. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes to do that. And we're thinking our priority, helping the group to listen carefully. Hey, well, welcome back, guys. I realise that these discussion times are never quite enough, but hopefully you've begun to have some useful times. Of course, the group are only going to listen carefully. Oh, shall I pause? Sounds like we're still coming back. Good. Do I need to mute everyone? I think we're okay. Splendid. Of course, the group are only going to listen carefully to God's word if they understand the importance of listening, indeed the priority of listening. Now, if you haven't already, please, please, please do listen to Charlie's sermon from a couple of weeks ago on Luke 10, the end of chapter 10, Mary and Martha. It was such a terrific sermon, and I thought an ideal place for us as IGG leaders to be reminded that listening to Jesus is not a good thing. Do you remember how he started this sermon? It was a bit shocking. Listening to Jesus is not a good thing. No, it's the only necessary good thing. Not one of many. It's not one of the things we need to think about as we think about IGG leading and shepherding the group. No, we must do all we can to help one another keep remembering the priority of listening to Jesus' teaching. Now, studying Mark's gospel this year will help us see exactly that at various points. If you've been prepping, which I hope we have been, you will have seen before these parables, we get this inside-outside dynamic going on. Who's in the inside group? Who's on the outside? We see even Jesus' family on the outside. And then we find that Jesus says, my family are those who are on the inside. And what do we find them doing? Well, the key mark, the key feature of those who are in Jesus' family are those who listen to Jesus, those who are sitting down listening to Jesus' teaching. Guys, it's so important that we help our groups to realize that listening to God's word, caring about Bible study, caring about word ministry is not just a St. Helens thing. It's not just this is what our church particularly likes doing and other churches do other things. No, this is the whole Bible. The whole Bible tells us that humans either listen to God or they ignore God. If you think about sin, that is ultimately what we're doing. We're suppressing the voice of God, we're suppressing the truth of God, and we're refusing to listen. Well, I want to hear what you guys had to say in answer to question two, if you got onto that one. What stops members of IGG, including ourselves, what stops us from listening carefully? Did any of you mention this? Group members often simply don't understand why it matters. Maybe when we first arrived at IGG, we were exactly like that. We just didn't get the significance of listening to God's word. And so, of course, listening carefully wasn't really a mark of us. Guys, I can't stress this enough. Shepherding the group will involve regularly needing to be explicit about our convictions, explaining why it is we're doing Bible study, explaining why it is we care so much about thinking together about what we've been hearing on a Sunday after the sermon, why it really matters that we listen carefully to God's word. Well, why else do we find it hard to listen carefully? What stops us from listening carefully? Does anyone want to feedback things that you said in your group? Just feel free to say anything, and boys, I'll pick on a few.
Pride.
Thanks, Brian. Yep, pride. Do you want to say a bit more on that?
So we were talking in our group about how pride might stop, well, how people might think that they know it, they know Mark's gospel already, they might be relying on their sack of knowledge, and so their pride is stopping them from actually listening carefully to what Mark is trying to say.
Really helpful, Brian. Thank you. And I guess that's a real danger for us as well, particularly those of us who spent lots of time in Mark's gospel before, to just rely on our former understanding of it rather than to be presently today listening carefully, or just in terms of being a leader, just listening so that we can lead an okay Bible study rather than personally listening carefully. But let's stick with the group though. What other things did you guys come up with, reasons why we often don't listen carefully, things that stop us from listening carefully?
I think for us, Rachel pointed out, you know, a lot of us are using the Bible on phones, but then come the notifications from WhatsApp and Facebook and I don't know other things that come along, and so the priority, right? Like, why isn't it on airplane mode? I think that's the question. If really God's word is the only necessary thing, then that hour and a half or whatever should be dedicated to that. So just prepping yourself for that. That's something that somebody raised that we were discussing about.
Thanks, Chongyu and Rachel. That's really helpful. Really, really helpful. So yeah, I guess particularly in these times, and maybe we'll think more about this tomorrow with the leading Bible studies, but yeah, actually to be using a gadget for our Bible, if we're going to do that, we've got to turn off those notifications. Otherwise, those distractions are going to come, aren't they?
On the wrong understanding about why it matters, some of us mentioned it's easy for quite often people think of it as maybe like a course that you come to get the right answers about the Bible, rather than realizing it's the God of the universe speaking to us, wanting our response.
Ryan, that's extremely helpful. Thank you very much. So we forget who it is we're listening to, and we're going to come back to that because that's such an important point. One more. Any other thoughts?
even simple things like people being tired or hungry and so not coming, having been prepared to listen, and getting distracted by whatever else is going on in their life.
Thanks, Andrew. Hey, by the way, guys, if you've just come back from Singapore and you weren't with us last Tuesday, the person who just spoke, who you may never have seen before, is Andrew. Thanks for waving, Andrew. Andrew has just joined the staff team at St. Helens and is one of the associates, and has wonderfully been given to us at IGG. So look forward to getting to know Andrew. We're going to crack on and keep those things in mind, but we're going to turn now from the priority of listening to the quality of listening. So understanding the importance of listening, but especially how we listen. It's not just a case of spending time listening. I mean, think about that first parable of the soils. They all hear the word, don't they? But the question is, how do they hear? What is the mark of the good soil? Well, you can see it on the verse next to me. Not only do they hear it, but they accept it. And they go on accepting it. It's an ongoing response. It's not just a case of what we're listening to, but who is saying it. And we'll think more about the parables when we get to it in our slob groups. But just notice very briefly the parable in verse 21 to 25. Ryan, you mentioned very helpfully about who is speaking. Are you happy to read for us verse 21 to 25?
Chapter 4.
That's it.
And he said to them, "Is a lamb brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away."
Quite what's going on there. I don't want to take away from your slob study. You can talk about it more then. But at the very least, I hope you can see that we are to come to the word with expectant ears, big ears, attentive, longing to hear, expecting to hear. Because Jesus has been made known, well, we are to listen and long to hear from God. Well, we all listen, but the question is, how do we listen? And I want to suggest that our IGG groups should be like a family feast. And yet too often I fear that IGG groups are more like a flower arranging class, or perhaps a cooking class, perhaps learning how to assemble a meal, maybe learning how to really make it look nice, getting even a taste of it and thinking, "Oh, that's nice." But it's staying there. No. Brothers, if we're going to see people grow, we must not only ourselves, but help the group to not just understand the beauty of the food, but to be nourished through it. Our groups will only grow if they feed on God's word. Now, the observant amongst us, and who've been around IGG for some time, will notice that I quite like acrostics. You know those poems? In fact, you'll see it on the sheet. Feed, F-E-E-D. It's a little bit cheesy, but I thought this might help us differentiate between listening and careful listening. And I want to suggest that careful listening involves feeding on God's word. Last year, when we were thinking about praying, there was another acrostic, grow. Do you remember? Thinking we should be grateful for the work that God has done in someone's life and pray that they would be increasingly grateful. We thought about praying for their relationship, listening to God's word, praying, walking with the Lord. Others, praying for the ministry that they have, the opportunities within the church, outside in the world, and then walk their godliness and their walk with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I found that quite helpful at the beginning of last year. And then I kind of got a bit fed up of it and stopped using it. And then earlier on in the summer, I came back to it and I thought, oh, yeah, that was actually quite helpful. And if you don't find this helpful, forget it. But I've been using it for a little bit to think about my attitude as I come to listen to God's word, to help me not just have it go in one ear and out the other, but to really feed on God's word. And the first two, we're going to see attitudinal, attitude related to our attitude. and the second to a more active. So firstly, fear. As we come to God's word, whether it's for a Wednesday night or for preparing for a slob study or coming on a Sunday, we need to recognize who it is that we are listening to. Who is it that is going to be addressing us? Now, if you read that excellent book that I mentioned in the leader's invitation letter, before you open your Bible, you will have noticed there are quite a lot of good little quotes, but including the following two. Augustine said this: treat the scripture of God as the face of God. Melt in its presence. Treat the scripture of God as the face of God. Melt in its presence. So as we open God's word, as we open Mark's gospel, we are meeting God himself. Remember who he is. And so we tremble at his word. And then Spurgeon, that great preacher from the last century, what did he say? He said, to me, the Bible is not God, but it is God's voice, and I do not hear it without awe. So sometimes we get accused of being bibliolaters, worshipping the Bible, and that would be wrong, wouldn't it? Because the Bible's not God, but the Bible is God's voice. And so when we hear it, well, we should listen with awe, with fear, recognizing who it is we're listening to. As we come on a Wednesday night, as we think about what we're doing, as we prepare for a slob study, we're going to listen carefully if we realize and remember and recall who it is who's speaking to us. Fear God. Secondly, expect. As we open God's word, well, we can pray with real confidence, knowing that this is how God is at work in the world through speaking. And he's given us his word that we might listen, that we might hear his voice. And so let's pray that with confidence. Let's anticipate with eagerness as we come to open God's word that he will address us. Expect it to happen. Don't presume on it, but expect that that is a prayer that God will answer. I wonder how we'd be feeling about this weekend if we'd been invited to Chequers. Do you know what Chequers is? It's where the Prime Minister goes for his kind of country retreat. It's even nicer than Ashburton. I've never been, but I've seen pictures. It would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it, if we were invited to go there this weekend. What an opportunity to hear from, I mean, we'd probably want to have a chat to Boris and say, what are you doing? We might like to give him some advice from the Singaporean government or whoever it is. But that would feel quite a privilege, wouldn't it? If we were invited, a personal invitation to Chequers this weekend. But of course, every time we open our Bibles, it's even more of a privilege than that kind of opportunity. Because we're not just hearing from a Boris type who's here one day and gone the next. We're hearing from the one who is truly wise and who is on the throne and who wants us to hear his voice, who's given us everything we need in his living word. And so we should expect that every time we open God's word. And that's what we want to help our group to expect too, that they will listen carefully, fearing God, expecting him to speak, and then therefore examining, that's the third thing, examining God's word. Like those Berean Christians, do you remember in the early church? They search the scriptures attentively. And that's why we spend so much time getting ready for slob studies. And we'll think more tomorrow about how we get our groups examining the text, searching carefully. What is God saying? What is the big thing God saying in this bit of Mark? Why does that matter? And then focusing all our attention on, okay, well, if that's the big thing, so what? We'll think more about that tomorrow, how we go about it. But how right that we spend time thinking about examining carefully, noticing what is God actually saying. But it doesn't stop there. It's not fee, but it's feed. We're to feed on God's word. That is, having examined it, we then are to digest it, to continue to reflect on it. No one can spend an hour at IGG and get to the end and, okay, we've got the big point. Oh, we've even managed to spend 10 minutes thinking through response and that's it. No, we need to go on thinking. It's as we reflect on God's word that he then gives us insight. And so having established the big point of a passage and worked out what it's there for, well, we need to go on chewing on it. I loved it when in Summerlink, John was getting us thinking about meditation, and then was it Brian? You came out with this muditate. Our kids haven't forgotten that, to muditate like a cow, to keep chewing on God's word. That's what we need to do, to keep thinking it through, discussing it together, not just on our own, memorizing it, feeding on it, digesting it. Preachers often remind one another, at least we should do, that preparing to teach God's word, it's not just about hard thinking, but soft hearts. That if we haven't personally heard God speak, then what have we got to share with anyone else? Well, similarly, small group leaders, IGG leaders, we must beware of the personal professional divide of thinking, oh, this is an IGG study, I need to prepare this for the group, I've got to please my slob leader. No, we are personally, yes, working hard, thinking hard, but listening as a sheep to the Good Shepherd, and having soft hearts ready to digest it ourselves. And only as we've done that will we then be in a position to excite our group about doing the same. Well, speaking of groups, we're going to turn back to our breakout groups. I think I might do random groups again. Or should I do the same ones? Maybe we should just do the same ones. So it's not. No, let's do another one. I want to recreate them because we're not seeing much of each other this weekend. And tomorrow we're going to have to sit in our fixed group of six. So let's make the most of the fact that we can actually talk to different people while we're on Zoom. Two more questions. How can we cultivate this kind of a mindset to listening that isn't just kind of in one ear and out the other, but that really feeds on God's word? How can we cultivate that, both the mindset, but also the group culture that would spur each other on to have that mindset? And then why will it be important to be both intentional and relational as we go about doing that, both as a group and as in individual one-to-one relationships? Let's go to it. We've got another 5 to 7 minutes. I don't know if the technology would have allowed it, but I wish I could have listened in to all those groups. I'm sure you had some excellent things to say. And in fact, if you think there was something that was particularly helpful, get ready to share it, because there'll be a chance in a moment. But let me start by saying, actually, I'm just going to press record on that thing again. I wonder which of those four, fear, expect, examine, digest, I wonder which of those four you think we do best at within IGG and at St. Helens more generally. Possibly examine. I don't know if that would be true of your groups in the last few years, but even if that was the case, even if that's the area maybe we work hardest on, imagine how much better we would do at it if we feared God as we should, if we had that kind of trembling at his word mindset. And imagine if we truly expected that every time we open the scriptures, God is addressing. Think how much harder we'd work at searching the scriptures and doing the prep. And as for digesting, well, how much more would we be willing to put the time into meditating and thinking and having conversations with others about the implications if we really expected that this is God addressing us and that this is how we are to go on as sheep in the flock, those who listen carefully. Well, I wonder what you had to say. I imagine there was a certain amount of talking through one-to-one conversations. So having conversations with guys in our groups, and I hope we're going to be meeting with members of our groups. I guess as co-leaders, you'll split up the group and think, okay, I'll take those two or three, and maybe if you take those two or three, and have many in your group, and try and not only pray for them, but seek to meet up at least once or twice a term and see how they're doing. May have to happen on Zoom, but it may not. At the moment, obviously, we could probably meet in a coffee shop or something like that. And what are the questions we're going to be, what are the things we're going to be talking about? I hope at the very least we'll regularly ask this question. How have you been finding our studies in Mark's Gospel? Have you been finding the sermon series on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon? And during the course of the year, I guess we can plan to have conversations that will feed into that kind of a discussion about how are you finding listening to God's word. Things that will help one another to listen carefully to Jesus's words. So we mentioned earlier convictions and helping people see why it is we do what we do and why we care so much about Bible study. And so asking guys, do they realize why we do this? What's behind it? most, saying things like this, you know, most of us, when we first arrived at St. Helens, it took a bit of time to adjust to the way we do things. Do you understand what's behind it? And just kind of talking those things through, I think, can be really helpful. Because if they get their convictions clear, well, then they're more likely to see the value of doing things like prep. So that would be another conversation to have. Maybe not every, not at the same time, but, you know, over the course of the year, think, okay, let's at some point talk about prep and the value that it adds. Maybe even suggesting that you prep a study together one time and see if that helps. Or perhaps not necessarily you doing it, asking someone who's been around a bit longer to do that with them. That was great to see that happening last year. Or meditation, the place of meditation, what it looks like and how one might go about doing it. The impact that those things, prep and meditation, have on how we approach Sundays or Wednesdays before and after. Those are the kind of conversations that will really help our group to listen carefully. Or our quiet times, you know, not something you're going to ask about every time, but, you know, have they got into the habit of spending time listening to God's word day by day, opening the Bible and considering what is he saying to us? What about conversations that they're having with other members of the group? So it's not just you as the leader and them as the member, but encouraging them to be talking to others in the group, helping them think through how they might serve the group by sharing what they've been meditating with others. Well, let's think about, as a group, prep. Prayer, it's the same things, isn't it? Trying to get that kind of group culture where it's normal to talk about prep. I'll never forget, in fact, just this last, I guess it was in July, Dom and Gillian left. Dom was the final remaining member of Vernon's group. Some of you remember Vernon, Singaporean associate, who's been long gone. But those first year students, there was an amazing generation of them, including Glenn and Dylan and Dom and any number of other great brothers. And they were so on it in terms of prep. Every week they would get their books open and, okay, let's look, what have we done in prep? And I think they only did that, not just because they feared Vernon, but because they got clear on the convictions, why it was worth doing that. And so how do we cultivate that kind of group culture so that it's normal to have ongoing conversations about application, so that it's natural to talk about what we've been chewing on a few days later, having spent time reflecting personally. Prayer triplets, I think, are a great opportunity to be able to very naturally talk about these things. So I'm in a prayer triplet with a couple of guys from the 10:30, and we meet once a month, and we send a few bullet points in advance. And it's always the same, something from God's word that we've been meditating on, a kind of work thing, something in our family to pray for, and then a non-Christian that we're seeking to share Christ with. And so then it's very natural to talk about what we've been chewing on in God's word, because we've seen the text in advance. Okay, that's what Henry's been thinking about. Let's ask him a bit more about it. Prayer triplets, I think, are a great chance, because then you actually pray it in as well. Those are a few ideas from me. What other ideas did you come up with? Things that will help either in a kind of one-to-one context or in terms of growing the group culture? Maybe let's start with the first one, the mindset. How do we cultivate this kind of mindset to listening? Did anyone have anything useful to say?
Praying every time we come to God's word, because that reminds us that we are approaching God himself, and so it helps us to fear him, and we're asking him to help us understand his word, so we're expecting him to speak to us, and we're asking for his help to examine the word.
Thanks, Brian, that's really helpful. And I guess the danger is it's a bit like before you eat, they're kind of, oh, we better pray because that's what we do, and forgetting, you know, why it is we're praying, and we're saying, Lord, we're totally dependent on you, and as you say, Lord, help us realize what's going on as we go through the next hour or so. We're listening to you address us. Very helpful. Praying. What else?
We touched upon the importance of ourselves modeling it. Like if we are investing in listening to God, then
partly that will hopefully shine through, but also, you know, we won't talk to other people about it if we're ashamed of our own habits.
Thanks, Mary. That's really helpful. We're going to come back to that at the end because I think that's so important. Personal example.
Thinking about the things that we are chewing on ourselves and sharing that with the group, and asking those questions in a way that show that the word is really rich and deep. Not that the questions we're asking make the word impenetrable or difficult to understand, but that it's so rich that we just haven't enough yet and sharing that in these yet.
Abraham, that's really helpful. So the kind of personal example thing, part of it is just being natural and just kind of saying, I've been really struck by this. You know, talk about how it's impacted you. Is that something you've been thinking about, or has there been something else that has particularly struck you? So that it's not just us asking them a question, but we're sharing our own dojas, I'm sure, things that have struck us. What else?
So Derek was in our group, he was saying some really helpful like things to say in the study, just to like build up that culture of digesting. So he was saying that sometimes he'd ask a question like what have you been kind of thinking about or reflecting on from last week's study? And I guess, yeah, having that expectation that we'd be thinking about that during the week and wanting to come and encourage each other with what we've been chewing on.
Thanks, Hannah, for passing on Derek's gold dust. That's really helpful, isn't it? So I think, yes, starting the study can often be a good time to think about meditation from the previous week, because it's hard to sort of quickly come up with thoughts having just got to the big point of a passage. But giving that expectation that we need time to think about it. And it's going to take that WhatsApp a few days before saying, you know, do come having... do think a bit more about it, because we'll have a chance to share at the beginning on Wednesday night, and then that gives that expectation. Helpful. Any other thoughts, things that have been, you've seen work well in the past, things you're planning to try this year?
Paul made a really good point of just the importance of preparing good studies. It sounds like an obvious thing to say, but there's nothing like a well-prepped study where people clearly hear from God's voice and get very excited to make them want to prep harder and think harder about God's word and begin to apply it to their lives. So we don't want to be thinking so hard about creating a culture that we neglect the most important thing, which is to prep and write a clear study.
Really, really helpful. Thanks, Brian. That's why we're going to have a whole session on that tomorrow afternoon, because it's so important that we prep good studies, because that's going to give us the platform to really do this well, to listen carefully. Thanks, Paul and John. There's any number of things we could say about this, and I hope we're going to keep talking about this as a leaders team, and not just at the beginning of the year, but throughout the year, you know, sharing things that we found have gone well within our group and things that we're struggling with. You know, ask others in your group, ask your SLOB leader, and they may have tried other things that could work in your context. It's worth, I think, just chucking in at this point. Sometimes we'll come across some really tough issues. So people are going through hard times, and it's bound to happen. Even just in the last few weeks, I can think of a number of really quite tough situations. Because it's the same principle. We must exhort one another to listen carefully to God's word. So you'll find yourself regularly, as you seek to shepherd the flock, feeling a complete fraud, feeling helpless, feeling, what on earth can I do in this situation? But the wonderful thing is, we've got God's word, and all we need to do is gently encourage our brothers and sisters to listen carefully to the gospel. And you'll be amazed how that can really totally turn around a situation. It doesn't happen overnight generally, but as we gently, prayerfully, warmly encourage them to keep chewing on God's word. We don't necessarily need to turn to a new passage as we come to some situation. Oh no, I don't think I've found a Bible passage on that particular issue before. It may well be that the best thing to do is to think, okay, well, they've been spending the last month in this bit of Mark's gospel. How would knowing that truth about Jesus being king impact into that particular situation? What difference would that make? What about question two, intentional relational? This is something we thought a little bit about as an IGG staff team a couple of weeks back. And I thought it was quite useful because, you know, this is quite intentional, isn't it? Having to think about this. We're already talking about having quite specific conversations with group members, with our group as a whole, about the importance of listening to God and to do so carefully. But we need to be relational. Did anyone have anything to share on that front?
Cheryl, I think like it's good to be explicit about what we can expect when we come to God's word, and like saying, you know, that we should be like expecting God to be working in us when we listen to Him. And I think sometimes maybe it's not as obvious to people as it might be to us because we've been thinking about that for a long time. Yeah. That was really helpful from here.
Thanks, Cheryl and Laura. That is helpful.
We're saying something that it's very important to be relational as we do it, because otherwise we can be seen as just doing our really weird professional thing when we come to a Bible study, or like you're a leader, of course you're doing this stuff. You're like praying before you start, that's part of the deal. And yeah, everybody comes here, like we pray on the night, we do this kind of stuff. But if people don't see you doing the same in your own life, I guess people can have this connection between like the Wednesday nights and the rest of your Christian lives are like very different things. I guess we can be seen as the weird professionals doing this rather than holistic like Christians living godly lives and encouraging each other in truth and in love.
Tom, that's really helpful. I said to the staff the other day, we want to be intentional, but not intense. We want to be laser focused, but also lots of fun. And that it's partly pragmatic. It's partly because we're called to love one another. Pragmatic, because if we are just really intense, like Tom was saying, then the guys who aren't particularly up for it, they'll run away. They'll think this is not for me. St. Helens, they're too kind of, they care too much about this or that, and they don't seem to care about us practically and so on. Which of course is not true. But if all we ever talk about is the Bible study, then the danger is we lose people. And so to keep people with us, it's important. But also because we are family, and actually this is how we will show what it is to live out God's word by being. Not just people who talk about the word, but people who live it out, who live it out in a loving community. And so I think we've got to be wise and not just talk about our Bible studies, but to be sharing our lives and winning that trust and sharing our lives in such a way that there's genuine, sincere, brotherly affection for one another, such that as we then talk about how we've personally been listening and trying to be the careful listeners, then it becomes much more intuitive and instinctive, natural to then share with one another what they've been learning as well. Any final thoughts on that before we begin to wrap up? In which case, I'm just going to make a few comments before we go back to our groups to pray for a few minutes about the fact that we're doing this year in the context of a pandemic. Now, obviously, you don't need me to say that. And who knows how things are going to unfold. But we can be sure right at this stage, whatever happens with COVID, that shepherding the group is a huge privilege. And we know exactly what we need to be doing. And that is to be spurring each other on within our groups to listen carefully to God's word. And I've thought about a few things that you can maybe note down and think about later. We haven't got lots of time to do that now. But I think things that may help us as we go forward, depending on how things develop, it may be that we go under lockdown again and that's going to get really tough. It may be that we're able to meet in St. Andrews, but just in a very limited kind of way, and it feels frustrating. Here are some things to help us. Number one, don't dwell on the frustrations. Delight in the opportunities. So I think there's a real danger that, particularly those of us who've been around for some time, we see how inferior the experience of IGG might be on Zoom or whatever it happens to be, and we just get so frustrated with it. And yet we forget the opportunity that we do have. And even if it's on Zoom, I mean, last term was difficult, wasn't it? But we still had incredible opportunities to listen to God's word and to spur each other on to respond through Zoom. And certainly in recent months, we've been able to meet together physically. What an amazing opportunity to share our lives with a number of individuals in the group. So don't dwell on the frustrations. Delight in the opportunities. Delight in the fact that Jesus hasn't yet returned and there's more work, good work to be getting on with. Secondly, don't think it's all down to you. Involve others. So I think that's a real danger, particularly if we are back on Zoom for a period and we're not kind of feeling like we're part of a big team and it feels like it's all down to us and our co-leader and we've got this group of people to look after. It can feel like such a burden. Guys, don't take that on yourself. Obviously, we have to be praying and doing it in the Lord's strength, but we've also got a team. So involve others, your slob leader, and also involve others in the group. So there'll be others in the group who, you know, may well end up leading the following year, or perhaps they're not the kind of people who are going to teach God's word, but they're mature and they'll be able to take on some responsibility for others in the group. Don't feel like you've got to do it all yourself. Thirdly, don't focus on the fringe. Concentrate on the core. Don't focus on the fringe. Concentrate on the core. What do I mean by that? Well, I think there's a danger, particularly at this stage in the year, where we run around like crazy trying to secure new people to join us and stay with us. And maybe if we're in a group, we've only got a few people from last year and it feels all quite small, suddenly someone comes and we're running around like mad trying to ensure that they stick at St. Helens, not go somewhere else. And that's not a bad thing to do, and we will need to do that. But let's not focus on those guys. Concentrate on the core, because the core are the people who are entrusted to our care. And, you know, even if we have a group of just three people this year, to spend time with those three people is hugely valuable. And who knows what potential. In fact, that's my last point. Don't think numbers. Think potential. Don't think numbers, think potential. So, you know, last year, some of the worker groups, you had 14, 15, 16 people in your group. I mean, it was a bit crazy. Maybe they'll be smaller this year. Who knows? Maybe they'll start bigger and then they'll shrink because Zoom, people don't like that. Who knows how things are going to go? But don't think numbers. You maybe will be massive this year. Numbers is not the point. Think potential. And then keep in regular contact. This was, I asked someone on Monday if they had any tips from last term doing it all on Zoom. Keep in regular contact. It doesn't have to be a long chat. You know, during this pandemic, we're having to do a lot on Zoom. I'm actually finding that that's quite a helpful thing. The fact that people are up for going on Zoom and you don't have to spend the whole evening together. You can just spend half an hour catching up. Make the most of that. Think hard about integrating new people into the life of the group. That was a helpful tip that someone gave me. We're going to have that, I guess, over the next few weeks as new people join us. The danger is if they join an existing group or a group at least with existing relationships and they've never met physically, at least not initially, it's going to be hard for them. So we've got to think, how are we going to integrate them into the life of the group? And even if they're not willing to come on a Wednesday to St. Andrew's, and hopefully they will, but if they're not, maybe they'll be willing to meet up one-to-one or one-to-two. So why not encourage someone else with you from the group to go out for a meal with them, or to meet in a park, or something like that. And then I think really importantly, those two principles we started with. Let's keep remembering, not just this weekend, but throughout the year, that despite appearances, we can be confident of a certain harvest. And despite God's primary role, yes, it's up to him if there's going to be growth. We are responsible for listening carefully to God's word. And I think, guys, that is the big thing. We've got to keep remembering in our role as leaders, our job is to encourage people to listen. Whether they listen, that's their responsibility. But at the very least, we should do all we can to encourage them, exhort them to listen carefully to God's word. Please, let's be careful of not being overly negative about the context of the pandemic. I mean, think about it. If it wasn't this pandemic, it would just be some other challenge. Think back to that parable of the sower. The second soil, persecutions, tribulations. The third soil, the world, worries of the world, desires, and so on. And so whether it's COVID or some other tribulation, there's always going to be these challenges. But we know that the word, well, in God's sovereign kindness, does land on good soil and bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. And so just to go back to what Mary said a few moments ago, let's not underestimate the significance of our own personal example, carefully listening to God's word. Maybe that will be the most important thing we do this year, just showing our group what it looks like to listen carefully to God's word, not just seeking to prepare brilliant Bible studies, which I hope, you know, we'll make some progress in, but being a godly model of someone who's seeking to make progress as week by week, Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, we're listening carefully and seeking to respond appropriately. Key to shepherding is to be a model sheep. How do we do that? Well, listen carefully by feeding on God's word. Well, we're going to go back to our groups just for 3 or 4 minutes to pray. Just pray in some of the things. Don't need to chat about what to pray for. Let's just go straight into prayer. I'm going to put us back in those same rooms.
Oh,
I'd love to pray over you guys. Yeah, why not? Let me just check what I've got to do afterwards and then we'll pray. In fact, why don't you start praying and then I'll take over.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that that your word is the seed, and thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest, that you're the one who builds the house, and that even in the face of such uncertainties this year and really not knowing what things will look like practically going forward, we do thank you that you have prepared soil for us. We thank you for the people that you've prepared and been preparing to receive your word. And we do pray to you that those who hear this year would be amongst the good soil and would produce much fruit. And we pray that you'd help us in our attitude to your word in this coming year, that we would be those that fear your word and tremble at it and deeply treasure it, and that you would help us to show that to those that we're serving amongst, and that it's a genuine love and fear of you and a desire that they too might grow to have that same love for you. So Lord, please help us in our own hearts and attitudes towards your word to be cultivating that feeding attitude. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Father, we pray that as we come to know King Jesus more, that as we see him in all his wonderful supreme authority, that as we then come to open your word day by day, week by week, that we would increasingly have that kind of reverence. And that, Father, that would work through not just to examining and searching the scriptures carefully, but to digesting what you've said to us and really thinking through what it is you're challenging us with or encouraging us with, that we'd think through what kind of an impact that should make in the way we think about you and the world around us. Lord, please help us as a leaders team to keep remembering that throughout the year, not just at the beginning of the year, to keep encouraging one another in it and to be thinking through how we can help our group to that end. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, pray for a clear conviction that as the seed of your word is sown, there will be different responses, and we will not be surprised by different responses, and we will be people who definitely look forward to a big harvest, but at the same time not surprised by different responses. And we pray for perseverance in faithfully doing that, faithfully leading people to come to listen, and basically trusting that your word will produce fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold, we pray that you definitely help us as leaders to primarily set examples to ourselves, to be examples of those who listen to you. And we pray for against the kind of professionalism as we come to your word, we especially in the busyness of life and work and having to prepare studies and having to feel that we are basically handing our homework to our staff leaders, or feeling that we are just have a task to finish when we lead a study, and finding group members really annoying not to go the way we want them to do. And We do pray that we'll primarily be those who humbly listen to you, willing to learn, willing to be challenged, willing to be condemned by your word, and to repent and to follow Lord Jesus ourselves. And we pray that many who hear Mark this year, whether non-believers or believers, they all will respond to your word well as we come together with fear and trembling, and pray that you give us that spirit of fear as we come to you in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome back, guys. It's good to see you. I was keen to finish soon, sort of around 9-ish, because I'm conscious tomorrow's going to be a busy, long day, and so we'll probably want to get an early night, get some rest, and it's really important that we get off to a good start at 9:30 tomorrow. So I'm going to hand over to Dorothy for a moment, and she's going to give us a few bits of housekeeping and things we need to know for tomorrow.
Yeah, so if anyone else haven't had a booklet or you haven't received my email, can you either private message Angel, or you can text me or find your slops leader and let them know, please. And as Tammy has said, we are planning to start at 9:30 sharp tomorrow. If you're coming into St. Andrew's, please remember to bring your mask, a Bible, pen, and follow the seating plan that will be there when you reach St. Andrew's. And bring a contactless card if you want to buy the ESV journals, which will be on sale there. We will give you physical booklets. We'll put out on the seats for you if you want them. For those on Zoom, I'll open the Zoom room, this same link, at 9:25, so 5 minutes before. So if you can't get in, again, just message me. I think my number should be on the email. Finally, thank you to the 9 or 10 who have already signed the safeguarding and catering documents. If you haven't, find the QR code or the link on the PDF booklet or in the email, and please sign them as soon as possible. If not, I'll start emailing you. Thank you.
So are we supposed to bring this PDF with us, or is that provided, or do we not need it?
There will be a physical copy of the booklet, but if you want to, you can bring an iPad with the PDF booklet.
Thanks, Dorothy, for all you've done to get us off to a good start. And I'm really looking forward to tomorrow morning. George has been working really hard in helping, in thinking through how to help us get clear on Mark as a whole. So lots to look forward to then. Lots to look forward to as we spend time in our slob groups. Obviously, we won't be able to spend time as a complete group. There'll be ways of doing it, but we'll have to stay in our little group of six, or no more than six. And we'll spend the afternoon together, and then in the evening it may be that once we've kind of dispersed, you may end up forming a slightly different group, but that will no longer be it will have kind of morphed into a your slob leader will explain what's happening in your particular group. But the thought is lunch, probably, I mean, the weather's looking good, probably some sort of picnic in your group of six, and then maybe go out for a meal later in the evening, whether it's the same group of six or a different formation within the slob group. But lots to look forward to tomorrow. It may be best if you, I mean, check this with your slob leader, but it may be best, certainly if you're on the explore team, if you can bring a packed lunch, then we don't need to worry about going via a shop when we go out to St. Andrew's. But if you think it'd be best to pop into a Pret and pick up a sandwich, we can do that as well. We can probably go past the shop. That should work. But if you can prepare something before you come out, so much the better. And as Dorothy says, 9 o'clock for a 9:30 start. Looking forward to seeing. Does anyone have any questions, things that you think would be helpful to us? Yes, Paul's got another one.
There's some time allocated for socialising. Seems like a great deal of time under restricted circumstances. What is the intention there?
Yeah, so good question. Poor old Paul's going to have to socialise with me. Depending on your slob group, you're going to do various things, but it's not actually as long as it looks. So between one and four, there's chance to have lunch. There's going to be a short activity that will involve each slob group needing to produce a photo with every single person on it, but obviously with a certain amount of photo editing, because you're not going to be able to all be in the same picture, and not all of us are actually going to be there. And some reference to Mark's gospel will win you prizes. But it'd be nice by the time we come together at four to have four, is it, or five pictures that will then we can share, and we know exactly who we are. Because unlike if we're at Ashburn and without social distancing, it's much harder for us to get to know one another. And so it'd be nice to at least be able to put faces to names and that kind of thing. And then in the evening, yeah, Paul, don't you worry. There'll be plenty. That I think, to be honest, what's most disappointing this weekend is we have less time to socialise than we would if we were at Ashburn. So I think time will go pretty quickly tomorrow. Any other questions? Just looking through. In which case, I can see smiley Jenny Davies, and I think that's Gwilym's shoulder. Is Gwilym happy to lead us in a closing prayer? That'd be lovely.
Sure, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the privilege and the joy and the very awesome fact it is that we can listen to you speaking to us, and that you have given us hearts that can hear. And we want to pray so much that in your mercy and your goodness, you would keep us listening this year. And we pray for tomorrow, and we pray that it be a wonderful start to lots more hard work listening to the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would humble us, and that you would help us to trust him, even when he says things that we find hard to understand or hard to hear. And we pray that this year we would be marked, each one of us personally, by a real humility and dependence and a willingness to obey the Lord Jesus. And we pray that that would be true across the year as well for all of our groups. And please would you be shepherding us and pastoring us with your words, and would you be giving us a willingness to listen. And so we pray for ourselves, we pray for our groups, and we pray for tomorrow, and that this would be a really good start to the year together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Gwilym.